صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن هذا لهو القصص الحق وما من إله إلا الله وإن الله لهو العزيز الحكيم. فإن تولوا فإن الله عليم بالمفسدين. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله. فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون. يا أهل الكتاب لم تحاجون في إبراهيم وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل إلا من بعده؟ أفلا تعقلون؟ ها أنتم هؤلاء حاججتم فيما لكم به علم فلم تحاجون فيما ليس لكم به علم؟ والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. إن أولى الناس بإبراهيم للذين اتبعوه وهذا النبي والذين آمنوا والله ولي المؤمنين. ودت طائفة من أهل الكتاب لو يضلونكم وما يضلون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون. يا أهل الكتاب لم تكفرون بآيات الله وأنتم تشهدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Sent a beautiful recitation. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, Saturday, the 6th of August 2022, is the eve of the 8th of Muharram 1444. We will have Marthia, firstly by Brother Abbas Limaraj, followed by Brother Hussein Rajbali, and then Sayyid Naqi, and then we'll have Munajat by Ilyas Govani. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Ali Imran kaha aur zindan kaha le behan qaid hui tu na ya ghazi jab rida chini main sada deti rahi tu na aaya ghazi humko pani na mile teri khushboo چاہے مشکی زاچ دے یہ مگر ہو نہ سکا تیرے بازو ہے جدا مجھ پہ ہے تشنا لبی تو نہ آیا دھوپ میں تو تھا شجر تجھ سے آباد تھا گئی ہے برہنا میرا سر کیا نہیں تجھ کو خبر اے علمدار وفا اس بہن کو با خدا تجھ سے ڈھارس تھی بڑی تو نہ آیا غازی کیا سکینہ اب کوئی آس نہیں تو میرے پاس نہیں رسی شانوں میں بندھی تو نہ آیا غازی کتنی بے بس شہنشاہ وفا نام لے لے کے میرا جب یہ ظالم نے کہا ناز تھا جس پہ تجھے اب شیر میرے بیردا ہم کو لیے یہ مسلمان سارے شہر در شہر گئے خلقت کوفہ کبھی جب رضا سر سے چھنی میں صدا دیتی رہی تو نہ آیا غازی صلی اللہ علیہ محمد وآل محمد.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
جبهات قلم ہو چکے عباس جری کے نوحہ حسین کرتے ہوئے یہ دشت میں پہنچے سانسیں ابھی روا تھی علمدار یہ بولے محروم زیارت کا سلام اخی سکتا میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے آقا یہ غلامی کا صلہ کیسا دیا ہے جس پیار سے سر آپ نے زانوں پہ رکھا ہے اٹھ کر سلام کرتا میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے میں چادر زمین تھا محافظ تھا حرم کا اب زندہ بھی رہ جاؤں تو کیا فائدہ زینب کو بتا دینا میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے میرے ہاتھ میں کیسے کس طرح نبھاؤں گا غلامی کے طریقے, یہ کم تو نہیں صدمہ میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے, میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے. دل روتا ہے مرتے ہوئے کیا بے ادبی ہے, جن ہاتھوں کے کٹنے سے کمر شے کی جھکی ہے, سیدھی نہیں کر سکتا میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے, میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے. جب زی سے زمین کی طرف آنے لگا مولا, نہ کوئی مددگار تھا نہ کوئی سہارا, اس وقت خیال آیا میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے, میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے. میں کیسے اٹھوں آقا میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے, میرے ہاتھ نہیں ہے. صلوا علی محمد وآل محمد.
صلوات علی محمد و آل محمد. Brothers, for this marsiya, please lend your voices in the chorus calling for Abu al-Fadl Abbas. صلوات علی محمد و آل محمد.
A prayer sent to the heavens from the purest hands of Zahra. And whose hands were sent to answer but the hands of my Abbas. Abbas, 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 Abbas. Ever since you fell to the dust, we'll raise your flag to the sky. You gave your hands for Allah, now us cling on to your shrine. You could not answer Halmin, so for you we replied. Your master left all alone, now millions by his side. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas.
All together.
Abbas, Abbas. Abbas, Abbas, Abbas. How many hearts are broken by the flight of an arrow? All the water has fallen, and then the alarm follows. Sakina cries out in her grief, Baba, my thirst has left me. I'll never ask for water, just bring my uncle back, please. Abbas, 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 Abbas. No words could ever capture this moment between brothers. The servant lying and bleeding on the lap of his master. Mola, how can I go back? See the thirst of your daughter, knowing the mashk has fallen. Mola, I have no water. Abbas, how can I leave you lying next to the river? Abbas, how will I carry you now that my back has broken? Abbas, 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 your heart couldn't cope hearing the cries for water. So tell me, how did you bear on that night of Ghariba? Children running from burning tents, crying, calling your name. I have no hands, O children, forgive me for your pain. Abbas, 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 Abbas. You fought to quench the children, and now you'll quench your lovers. All those that ask at your door, Babul Hawaij answers. We enter holding anguish, but heaven when we leave you. We have only one prayer, just bring us back to see you. Abbas, 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 Abbas.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. نام عباس وسیلہ ہے ہے دعا کے لیے
سے وسیلہ ہے ہے دعا کے لیے سب مل کے نام احباب ہے ہے دعا اس میں اعظم ہے یہ مومن کے التجا کے لیے نام عباس ہے ہے دعا کوئی مانے یا نہ مانے ہے یہ ایمان میرا نام عباس تو بخشش کا ہے سامان میرا چشمہ فیض ہے چشمہ فیض ہے یہ دے ہر ایک گدا کے لیے نام عباس ہے ہے دعا The name of Abbas will strike fear into the enemy's heart. But when I hear Ahab al-Fath, my heart finds peace and calm. It is eternal bliss. It is eternal bliss to have Abbas's name on our lips. Name Abbas Vasila. Dide karta hoon alam pe تو قلم رکتا ہے یاد آ جاتے ہیں غازی مجھے یوں لگتا ہے اب بھی روتا ہے اب بھی روتا ہے یہ زینب تیری ہی رضا کے لیے نام عباس ہے ہے دعا The flag of Abbas would make the enemy shake with fear But when I see the halam fly, I pledge bay'ah every year. How fortunate are we, how fortunate are we to have Abbas's flag for our shade, name Abbas Vasila, hai hai dua. Humko roze pe bulao, mere aqa Abbas, chum le ha ke zari ko. میرے آقا عباس بحر معصوم سکینہ کی التجا کے لیے نام عباس وسیلہ ہے ہے دعا کے لیے نام عباس وسیلہ ہے ہے دعا کے لیے صلی علی محمد و آل محمد
uh, Thank you. Beautiful recitations. May Allah accept your deeds, inshallah. Before we move on to the lecture, we need to try and maximize the amount of space that we have in the marquee. It is Saturday night and the 8th Eve. So if people can please, with the loud salawat, really shuffle forward. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yeah, there's loads of space. Comes right next to the minbar, all the way. Skip right next to forward. I came late yesterday and there was loads of pockets of space. So from the back as well, it's minimal disruption for the speaker as well when he's reciting his majlis. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Yeah, keep shuffling forward. There's still plenty of space from the back. Ask if from the back you can direct people. We just do this once so we don't have to do it during the lecture. Are we happy, Imran? Still some space. Shuffle forward, please. Thank you. Lovely. Okay, great, brilliant. Okay, without further ado, can I welcome Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali to recite his lecture on the topic titled Spouses and Parents, the Weak and the Strong. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Respected elders and brothers, sisters, lovers of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. On this 8th evening of the month of Muharram, I want to express our condolences to our living Imam and all of you on this occasion. Truly, it's an opportunity for gratitude and thankfulness to Allah to have been chosen to be part of this gathering. Just today, received word from back home that one of the long-standing community members, who the type of person you'd see all the time, especially on these days of Muharram, doing things, you know, taking care of people, cooking, preparing, just everything he can do to serve Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he had to go to the hospital, and inshallah, whatever it is, it will get taken care of. But they were asking for du'as. And maybe even in this community, I'm sure there are a number who would have liked to be here, but they can't be here for various reasons. this brother, you know, he was complaining. He was saying that maybe it's a case that Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't want me there this year. And of course, that's not the way we want to think about things. We want to be having good opinion. And sometimes, you know, we have tests and challenges that come up. But we really have to value the opportunities that we have when we have them. And who knows when these opportunities will come and help us. I want to share a short story before I begin the speech for tonight. It's something which is, it's one of the stories which really shakes you up. It's from Shaheed Mutahhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. He says that one of my teachers, once when he was about to give the class, he was just, you know, disturbed, and it seemed like he was crying. And he said that, "Today I'm not going to be able to give the class, I'm sorry, because I'm disturbed about a dream that I saw last night." What was the dream? He says that I saw that I had passed away. My soul was going to be taken away from my body. Everyone had gathered to accompany my body and to put it in the grave. And as I was being lowered into the grave, I saw that there was a dog that was going to join me in the grave. And whatever I did to shoo away the dog, I couldn't do anything because I didn't have the power to do so. I had died. And I saw that it was going to come with me in the grave, and it was going to be disturbing me a lot in the grave. And I was frightened. And at that moment, I saw that there was the presence of someone who came to my grave. And he ordered the dog to go away, and it went away. And I asked him who he was, and he says that I am Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And he says, "I came to understand that that dog was the representation of the undue anger that I was having towards my family members. And when I woke up, I realized that this whole dream and everything that was there, it was all a lesson for me." What was the lesson? The lesson is that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is there to help us. And when we have opportunities like this in this world to come to these gatherings, we're here to really think about how we can make our lives be more Husseini, more like Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His martyrdom is an opportunity for us to identify those places where we can change, rectify, modify, inshallah improve, so that he will be there with us when we leave this world, and he will be there and be happy to receive us, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The example that I'd like to begin with today from history, because we're taking lessons from history, because as Imam Ali alayhi salam says that إِنَّ الْأُمُورَ أَشْبَاح, the history repeats itself. Things that happened in the past can come up again. The example that I have, I want to take you to a personality known as Zubair ibn Awam. Zubair, like Talha from yesterday, was somebody who was very famous in the history of Islam. He was the fourth or fifth person to accept Islam. He was tortured because of his beliefs. He fought alongside the Prophet. One time, he was traveling with somebody, and that person saw that his entire body was covered with battle scars. You know, imagine like somebody, let's say you might see somebody that's covered with tattoos. His body was covered with battle scars. And his companion asked him, he says that, "Where'd you get all these scars from?" He says that, "Every one of these I got from battling alongside the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is the type of, you know, support he gave to the Prophet. He was one who drew his sword when he was present at the house of Fatima alayhi salam, defending the rights of Imam Ali alayhi salam against those who would want to, let's say, burn down the house of Fatima alayhi salam. That's how much support he had given to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But we see that things changed for him just like they changed for Talha. Yesterday we saw that that same Talha who was carrying the blessed body of the Prophet and protecting him from injury in the Battle of Uhud is the same one who draws his sword against the very soul of the Prophet, meaning Amir al-Mu'mineen. Things changed for people. And the same thing happened with Zubair. That history shows that at the end of his life, he is on the opposite side of the battlefield in the Battle of Jamal. Now there's a point during this battle, which I want to focus on, inshallah, this is going to be an introduction to our topic, where Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says to Zubair, let's have a conversation. You know, they're relatives. They have a long history. And he tells Zubair that, I want to remind you of an incident that took place when we were young. Do you remember that day that we were children and we were playing together and you were hugging me? And our Prophet was there with us and he asked you, do you love him? And he said, of course I love him. Right? He's my brother, he's my cousin, I love him. So then the Prophet told you at that time, then why is it that at one point you will be fighting him and you will be the one who is the unjust one? And at that point, you didn't accept this. You said this would never be the case. And when Zubair heard this from Imam Ali alayhi salam, then he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You reminded me of something that I had forgotten about. And he walks away determined to not fight against Imam Ali alayhi salam. What happens at this point? This is really crucial. At this point, as he walks back to his army, he apparently looks like, that's it, he's not going to fight anymore. But he's met by his son, Abdullah ibn Zubair. Abdullah tells him that, my father, you know, you went away looking like something and now you look like something else. Tell me what happened. So he tells him the incident. He says, I'm not going to fight anymore. And his son begins to instigate him. He tells him, for example, he says to him that, you know, you're the one who brought these people here and you created this division and now you're going to just walk away? How could you do that? It seems to me that you're a coward. And then he tells to his father, he says that, you know, you'll be the laughing stock of the Arabs and, you know, all the women will talk about how much of a coward you were if you're going to walk away from this. And then finally, Abdullah tells him that, okay, you made a bay'ah to Imam Ali alayhi salam, then just give a kafara, give a penalty, and it'll be okay. You can break your allegiance with the Imam alayhi salam. So that's what Zubair does. He breaks his allegiance. He goes and he fights against the Imam alayhi salam, and eventually he's killed in the battle. Who is this person, Abdullah ibn Zubair? Abdullah, his son, was somebody who throughout the life of Zubair was a source of, he was an issue for him. And one hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he says that Zubair was from us, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, until his son grew up. When his son grew up, that's when he started showing enmity towards us. So Imam alayhi salam puts the problem on the son. But when you go back in history, it's very interesting. And we look at the childhood of Abdullah ibn Zubair, we see that Abdullah grew up in a broken home. What exactly happened is not very clear, but one of the reports say that Zubair, the father, was somebody who used to beat his wife, who was the mother of Abdullah. And when Abdullah, as a child, saw that his father was beating his wife, he took a stand. And he said that, okay, that's it. This is not going to happen anymore. And somehow he managed to create some type of division between his mother and his father, and eventually they were separated. Now, when you look at it from, you know, now at a distance, and we try to see exactly the factors and put together things, sometimes we just have to work off of, you know, things which are not necessarily concrete evidence. But definitely when you look at all the things together, you can see that one of the factors that led to Abdullah ibn Zubair becoming one of the arch enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, eventually he'd be the one who, you know, he played a role even in terms of taking people away from Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam in Makkah and other things. One of the reasons, one of the factors had to do with his relationship with his father and his broken home. And throughout this series, we've been talking about what are some of the deeper causes that lead people away from the ideals of Islam. They have the outward aspects of Muslims, but inside they have a deep sickness. And tonight I want to focus on this: relationships, homes, parents, and children. Now, first I want to offer some comments about relationships between husband and wife. And I know that some of you are not married, your children, right? Or for whatever reason, you're not married. But inshallah, I'm going to have some comments about parents and children as well. And even those who aren't married, sometimes it's good for us to plan ahead, right? Yesterday we talked about how marriage is something which is very important. It's something that, you know, is part of the sunnah of our Prophet. It's something that is one of the stages of development in our lives. One of the things that, inshallah, right, we're going to have that rite of passage as well at one point in our lives. So tonight I want to focus on this, that what are some of these things that we can do to make sure that our relationships are strong, that we're building those families that are actually going to be successful, that we're doing our part in terms of having that environment where the children who come out of that environment, inshallah, will be a source of goodness. Not like Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So I want to take us back, first of all, to the famous saying of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi. Where he says that ma bunya bina'un fil islami ahabbu ila Allahi min at-tazwij. You've heard this before many times. There is no building which is built in Islam that is more beloved to Allah than marriage. When you're building a building, it's super important to have certain codes that you follow, certain regulations that you're going to adhere to. In this hadith, the Prophet mentions very particularly that if you're going to build the building of tazweej, of marriage, it should be according to Islam. And this is the first point I want to make in terms of practical suggestions. Sometimes you see that people approach marriage and they're like, yeah, okay, I'm going to go through the Muslim vows, I'll do the nikah ceremony and the akd and whatnot. But the way that I'm going to, the rules that I'm going to play by in my family life are going to be something that are my own rules. For example, one of the common rules, which is the 50-50 rule, right? Everything is going to be like equal, right? In terms of our responsibilities, in terms of like, you know, our finances and everything. We're going to take that. Why? Because it's a good number, right? 50 plus 50 equals 100. It's easy to go by that. And we look at Islam and it has a nice, rich set of rules and responsibilities, where oftentimes it's not about 50-50. Sometimes it's 30 and 70. Sometimes it's 100 and 0. Right? Sometimes it goes beyond numbers. Right? It goes into things which you don't want to quantify them. Right? It comes into things like, you know, stepping up to taking the higher ground. And we talked yesterday about what happens when you have a system which is dependent on an individual, when they make the calls as to what's right and wrong. What Islam teaches us is that if you're going to take your own path when it comes to your relationship and how you're going to govern it, then you're on your own when it comes to the results. And this is very important, right? We want to have the best of results. What is the basis on which that building is supposed to be built according to Islamic standards? This is what the Quran tells us in verse 21 of Surah Ar-Rum, Surah number 30. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها. The purpose of a home, the purpose of a family is sukun, is to have sukun, to have an environment of tranquility and peace, to have comfort of the heart. So if I'm sitting in this majlis right now, I'm thinking about like, okay, I want to step up my game, inshallah. Or if I'm doing some good things, I want to make sure that I get that verification, I'm doing the good things. I can ask myself that in my home, how much of my home life is characterized by it being an environment of tranquility and peace and sukoon for everyone who's there? Sometimes we hear from brothers and sisters, right? They say that unfortunately our homes, there's a lot of tension. Right, there's a lot of like anger, right? There's a lot of ill will, a lot of like, you know, dissing one another and these types of things. This isn't the way that a home is supposed to be governed by according to Islamic standards. The next thing that is important for us to understand is that if we want to have these homes, which inshallah are going to be sources of producing like children who are righteous, children who inshallah are committed to the right values and the right morals. Those who are, you know, the parents, the mother, the father, the husband and the wife, it's very important for them to have an attitude of wanting to improve when they can, of building their relationship. Sometimes we hear, you know, in the community, like when we have, let's say, sessions, Q&A sessions or halaqas or jalasas, talking about family life and what we can do to improve, what we can do to face the challenges that modern life give us, what we can do to not be like the 40-50% or 60-70% of people in our society who face severe problems in their marriages. When you try to have these, sometimes there's resistance among people. What do they say? They say that, look, there's some things that we have to go to school for. There's some things that we have to take a class for. There's some things that we need to spend time and learn about. But how to live a married life is not one of them. Right? That's something which is intuitive. Right? You just kind of go with the flow. Right? Just, you know, after all, we all saw, you know, examples from our parents. You know, we watch a lot of movies and TV shows where you see people doing things about, you know, that's what married life is about, right? It's like that. Right? And then those who take that approach, they get into it 1 year, 2 years, sometimes like, oh man, like it wasn't so easy after all. Right? I'm having some issues. Alhamdulillah, I know that in this community and other communities, in recent years, there's been a lot of effort in terms of like making sure that there's good education, right? There's workshops for being able to work on these things. But this is very important that we should have the right attitude that I want to improve. The next point I want to make is that, inshallah, you can help me with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Is that oftentimes prevention is the best medicine rather than cure. When somebody is sick, right? Okay, now you have to deal with it. But how better it is if you can have preventative medicine, where before that sickness even comes up, the person has a type of lifestyle where they're going to avoid that sickness coming in the first place. What is one of the practical steps that we can do to make sure our relationships are grounded and they are firm? One of the things that is, you know, I want to suggest, inshallah, if you're doing it, that's great. If you're not, something that we can work on, is trying to have a very good understanding of the other party. Trying to understand who they are, what is it that they are about. You know, the more connection points you have with somebody, the tighter the bond is going to be. And that comes about, again, it's not something which is natural. Sometimes you talk to couples that have been married for 10, 20 years, and you ask them about, you know, the particularities of their spouse, and they'll be like, oh, I don't really know. Right? I haven't really found out those type of things. Why? Because we haven't talked about those things. Of course, there are the other example as well, where they're very good at it. But this is very important to have those deep conversations, to reach out, to show that I am interested in you. I want to develop a connection with you. I want to spend time with you. I'm going to make time for you. And along with that, there is the etiquette of making sure that we have healthy relationships. What are some of those etiquette points? Number one is making sure that we thank Allah for giving us the person that we have. Sometimes we're very quick to see all the negatives in our spouse, our children, right, our parents. And we come with a long list. Oh, my dad is like this. My mom is like this. My son is like this. My spouse is like this. But we don't take into account all the wonderful things that they have as well. For example, if your spouse, your child, your mother, your father is a believer, they have love of the Ahlul Bayt in their hearts. Right? They're people who like the Quran. They're people who like the Ahlul Bayt. This itself is a great blessing. Do we thank Allah for giving us somebody like that and putting them in our lives? They say that every day we should have at least one time in the day where we put our head down into sajda and we thank Allah for giving us the people who are close to us, our family members. Because there are those who don't have that. They're all alone, right? But at least if we have somebody, then that's something. Sure, there's problems, but at least we have this, that's important. Now, let's say that there are problems. Yesterday, we talked about this approach where you don't go head on. You don't go try to assert your power. You know, one thing I want to say about my experience here in Britain, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of wonderful things. But as a pedestrian, like, you know, you're on your own when it comes to the streets of Britain. Because those cars are not going to stop for you unless they want to stop for you. Right? Sometimes you take one foot in and they go faster. I don't know if you had this experience. It's pretty scary. What is the attitude? The attitude is, well, because I have a vehicle which is bigger and better than you puny on your 2 feet, right? You have to wait for me. I'm going to make my way. I don't think Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam would be happy being here in Britain, because we saw yesterday that Nabi Sulaiman was somebody who, even when there was ants, right, he said, I need to respect that. I'm the king. I have all this power, but when it comes to ants, I'm going to respect their rights. When we're treating other members in the family, we can't be taking this approach of like brute force, right? I'm going to go ahead and you better come out of the way, right? We have to take a very careful approach. There's one time when this one man comes to one of our great scholars, Ayatollah Ansari Hamadani, and he says that, I'm having some problems in my life. Ayatollah Hamadani was one of those orafa, right? He, you know, had insight into things that maybe we don't have. So after a while, he tells him that, you know, you've been telling me about your problems, but I'll tell you what the core of the problem is. The core of your problem that you're seeing reflected in so many other things is your relationship with your spouse. You go take care of that, and then you'll see that things will improve in your life overall. So he goes home, and the same pattern starts. You know, the anger, the criticizing, whatnot. And this time, instead of reacting, he takes his wife's hand, and he kisses it. And she's so surprised, right? She was ready for a battle, right? She was ready for like that experience you have on the roads here where you're like waiting and the person is going to barge ahead, right? So what happened? He says, I spoke to, you know, this one scholar in Hamadan, and this is the advice that he gave me. She says, I want to talk to him as well. She goes and she gets some advice, and pretty soon afterwards, right? Simple things, right? Suddenly, like, things have changed for them. Now, brothers and sisters, we don't necessarily have access to Orafa that we can just go knocking on their door and say that, look, I have these problems. I want you to tell me, you know, what things to fix. But sometimes when we have these opportunities to reflect on our relationships, what are we doing? How are we doing them? Right? Therein, it's the blessing of these majalis. We realize that all these issues that I have, it all goes back to one thing, right? Which is my relationship. Might be with my spouse, my child. All I gotta do is take an approach where I'm not gonna be direct. Next time, instead of attacking, let me try kissing their hand and see what happens. Maybe things will change for us. And the last point I wanna make about the family and the marriage is that it's also important to realize that it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes we don't know what's happening. And that's because, you know, when you're in the midst of things, right, you can't really figure out what's happening. Like, let's say you're walking in a forest and you happen to be, like, when the forest is dipping down and you look up, you're like, oh, I just see trees everywhere, right? I might be lost. And in reality, because you happen to be in the lowest point, you might be just like, a few hundred meters away from the edge of the forest, but you think you're just in the middle of the forest, you're lost because you're not looking at it from the right angle. Sometimes with our relationships, this is the same thing, that because we don't have a type of look over it, we don't know what's actually going on. And it helps to be able to go and talk to somebody and say, look, we're having these problems. Maybe you could just tell us, what do you think from an outsider perspective? Sometimes it's the simplest of things. Just a little while ago, a young couple in a different place had come and, you know, they were talking. And I realized that all of their issues went back down to one thing. What was the one thing? And I'm saying this because sometimes these same things are found in other families. The one thing is that even though they were, theoretically, they had committed to living their married life according to Islamic guidelines, they had forgotten about one very important issue, which is the issue of leadership and respect. The natural tendency of that wife was to take the lead in everything. And the natural tendency of that husband was to kind of take a back seat and to just let things be done by others. Now, for both of them, right, they had an area of growth. The man needed to, like, you know, assume the responsibility, do those things that he earns that respect. Because after all, Islam says that the leadership is in that direction, but doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have a role in leadership. Leadership happens in different ways. From the wife's side, she also needs to realize that, look at this approach she was taking. Every time it was indirectly telling her husband that you're not worthy of being the leader. And he didn't know how to express it. Because the pattern that he had seen in his life, you know, growing up, was one of just, you know, the man retreating, not expressing, you know, what is it that's bothering him. Simple thing, and it was resolved. And these type of things can take place. Sometimes we think that, no, things are really bad if I need to go and ask somebody for help. But I'll tell you something that I heard from a very reputable source, that even among the top scholars, like one of the marjas, you know, I heard this, that one of the marjas has a habit of once in a while, he'll bring in one of the top scholars and him and his wife will have a session with him. Not that they have like major issues or anything like that. I mean, he's somebody who's trying his best. He could probably write books about how to have good relationships according to Islamic guidelines. But just to check, just to make sure that he's not doing any injustice to his wife, he says, let me bring in a third party once in a while, just make sure if she has anything to say, she can say, if I have anything, and then we can sort it out. Right? And some of these things that maybe are considered as taboo, right, in our communities, maybe, right, we need to start to think that in face of the problems that we're facing, maybe we need to reconsider what is it that's taboo or not. Well, the final point that I'll make tonight, inshallah, has to do with the relationship between children and parents. There's a lot to say about this. In the story of Abdullah ibn Zubair and his father, we saw that there was a very strange dynamic there, where Abdullah was somebody who was controlling his father. He was playing with him. He was like a toy in his hand. He would use him for his own interests. And that's just one example of a bad parenting strategy. And this is a discussion that I think it's important to bring up, that what is the ideal parenting strategy? Because once again, a lot of times what we do is we do what we saw being done. Or if what we saw being done was not acceptable to us when we were growing up, we do the opposite of that. So let's say, for example, sometimes we see that, okay, I would grow up and my parents were very strict on me and very harsh. So then I'm going to take the opposite of that. I'm going to be like very, 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 like just giving and let my kids do whatever they want. Right? And neither of them do I see the desired results. So what is that ideal Islamic standard? You know, just recently, there was a very interesting article in The Guardian when they were talking about the mental health of teenagers in the United States. They said that in the last number of years, until 2021, mental health issues like depression had skyrocketed from 20% to 41%. That's huge. Right, and they're talking about even the rates of like suicide ideation, right, among young people had just skyrocketed. Right? And they're saying, what's going on in our society? What's happening? One of the things they talked about was social media, which inshallah we'll get a chance to talk about, you know, tomorrow night. One of the things they talked about was the lack of proper socialization, especially because of the pandemic. Inshallah, we're going to get a chance to talk about that the night afterwards. The third thing they talked about is that simply one of the things that's leading to children having mental health issues, they're not even talking about the spiritual issues, is unhealthy parenting styles. That people have gotten into a situation in the modern world where they don't know what is the right way to actually be a parent. Now tonight, I don't have enough time to actually go into this, but I just put it as a question for us to reflect upon. What is that right strategy that I can take? What are the principles that I can follow when it comes to making sure that I'm doing the right thing when it comes to raising my children? Should I be strict? Should I be lax? Right? Should I be like super friendly? Should I be like kind of stern? Right? Should I be encouraging? Should I be like demanding? Right? What is the approach that I need to take in order to inshallah have the best results? I'm going to leave the further explanation on that for tomorrow inshallah. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين Brothers and sisters, we've gathered here tonight for a very important and very heavy musibah. And one of the things that I think it's very important, brothers and sisters, that we do is to encourage the proper culture of grieving and mourning. This is not just, you know, somebody sitting up on a chair and saying some story, right? Like Aesop's, you know, fairy tales or something like that. But this is reality, right? These are the people who are the best people on earth. And we're going to see here how they were treated in the worst of manners. And what it's supposed to do, it's supposed to trigger an emotional response. Sometimes it might help us to think about things at a certain way. You know, for example, we're told about Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, we're told that Imam alayhi salam, one time, you've heard this hadith before, it's famous hadith that our Prophet said that if you want to see Adam in his knowledge, and you want to see Nuh in his taqwa, and you want to see Musa in his haybah, and you want to see Isa in his ibadah, his worship, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ عَلِيِّ بْنِ أَبِي طَالِبْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. Meaning that what? Meaning that if you want to see the embodiment of these values and these characteristics, you can read about it in the books, or you can look at this person who has all these characteristics in him. So when it comes to Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, what are those characteristics that he has? And when those enemies take up their arrows and they take up their swords, what are the characteristics that they're fighting against? And when I think about it from that perspective, it might be easier to bring tears to my eyes when I see that they're not just cutting down a person. They're not just cutting away at somebody's arms. What they're cutting away at is the essence of humanity and dignity. So what do we know about Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam? What do we say in that famous ziyarah from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam? فَنِعْمَ الصَّابِرُ الْمُجَاهِدُ الْمُحَامِ النَّاصِرُ. What are we saying there? That how excellent Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam was. He was the best of helpers. He was the best of warriors. He was the best of protectors. He was the best of brothers. He was the best of those who came and responded to their Lord. He was one who would strive for those things that others would back away from. So when I hear about Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam, I'm thinking that this is the person who had all those qualities. And these enemies are going and they're attacking somebody like that. All of loyalty, all of bravery, all of brotherhood, all of that's being attacked. As you know, brothers and sisters, Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam had a very special role. He was the siqa. He was the one who would bring the water. You know, sometimes we don't appreciate this because water is so readily available. But imagine that we were put in the hot desert sand with the sun blazing down upon us. What would we be caring about? Our mouths would be thirsty and we'd be waiting for that time when water would be brought to us. This is how people saw Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam. He was the water bringer. He was the one who was sahib al-liwa. He was the flag bearer. In an army, the flag bearer was so important. That's where people would rally around. That's where people would go to. When they're concerned about what's happening, they would look to the flag and they'd see if that's standing high, then we're okay. The army is still intact. Let's now go through the story of Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Ibn Rasulullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'ik. يا ليتنا كنا معكم فنفوز معكم فوزا عظيما Peace and blessings be upon you, O our master, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. Peace be upon you and your blessed body that was lying on the sands of Karbala while your mouth was thirsty. Peace and blessings be upon you and upon your companions who were with you until the end. If only we could be with you and have attained the great victory that you attained. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas ibn Amir al-Mu'mineen. How important Abbas alayhi salam was to Imam Hussein. If we read the maqtal of what happened on the day of Ashura, we know that Abbas alayhi salam must have been eager to go and fight the enemy from early on. But he knew one thing, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam needed him. He was very important to the Imam. He was like the Imam's right hand. So Abbas alayhi salam waits. He waits until the end. He goes to the Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There are different reports as to what happens now. One of the reports say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam looks at Abbas. He says to him, "The children are thirsty. Abbas is the siqa. Oh Abbas, let's go and get some water for the children." This report says that Imam Hussein and Hadrat Abbas together advanced on the enemy. They fight the enemy bravely. Eventually they get separated. But let's go now to Hadrat Abbas alayhi salam. Imam Hussein had told him that the children are thirsty. He has a responsibility. He wants to go and fulfill that responsibility. So what does he do at that point? He cries out his battle cry. Inni ana al-Abbas aghdu bis-siqa wala akhafu ash-sharra yawm al-multaqa. I am Abbas. I am the one who brings water. I am not scared of any battle. They say that there were 4,000 men who were gathered on the banks of the river. I don't know how he did it, but this son of Imam Ali alayhi salam somehow makes his way to the river banks. He fills the water skin. How is he going to bring it back? He decides that he's going to need a shield for the skin. What is going to be the shield for the water? It's going to be his very own body. Abbas alayhi salam is coming towards the children with the water. The enemy is surrounding him. They are from all angles attacking him. One of them raises his sword. The sword comes down. Abbas alayhi salam cries out, "In qata'atum yamini fa inni uhami abadan an dini وعن إمام صادق اليقين." If you want to cut off my right hand, I will never give up defending this religion. I will never give up defending this Imam, this pure Imam, this truthful Imam. Abbas alayhi salam shifts his sword to his left hand. But soon afterwards, the cry comes from Abbas, "Qad qata'u bi baghyihim yasari fa aslihim ya rabbi harran nari." Oh Allah, they have cut off my left hand, so send them to the fire of hell. At this point, Abbas alayhi salam takes the water skin to his chest. There is no sword because there is no hands to hold the sword.
Abbas alayhi salam makes his way towards the camp, but the enemy is surrounding him. They say that sometime later in Medina, when they brought news to his mother, Ummul Baneen, of what happened in Karbala, her first question was, tell me about Hussein. They told her that Hussein has been martyred. She says that I wish that everything in this world and my sons would have been martyred, but Hussein would be living. And then she tells them, tell me about my sons. Tell me about Abbas. She says that, tell me, is it true what they say? Or is it not true that they cut off my son's hands and they took a rod and they beat him with the rod? Because I know that if he had his hands, they would not have been able to do what they did to him. The cry is now coming from Abbas alayhi salam. Ya Aba Abdullah, alayka minna salam. Peace be upon you, O my brother Hussein. Imam Hussein comes to him. He must have been thinking, Abbas, when I left you, you had your arms, you had your sword, but what has happened to you now? Al-an inkasara dhahri wa qallat hilati. My very backbone has been broken. All means of escape have been blocked for me. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ولعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. ماتم حسين.
مشق سکینہ کی بھی دیکھو وہ ہے بند رہی خون میں ڈوبا ہوا ہلو وہ علم آتا ہے پیٹتے ہے سر امام رو رو کے ہر ایک گام غازی تصدق ہوا ہلو وہ علم آتا ہے بھائی کے اب صدمے سے شاہ نہیں جینے کے موت کا ہے سامنا لو وہ علم آتا ہے ہو چکے بے کس امام جنگ ہوئی ہے اختتام بھائی بھی کام آ چکا ہلو وہ علم آتا ہے جس سے تھی دارس بندی مر گیا وہ بھی جری جائے تا مل ہے کیا لو وہ علم Bhai Abbas, tumse pehle mujhe kyun maut na aayi? Abbas, hai wo shah ka kehna mere bhai. Abbas, tumse pehle mujhe kyun maut na aayi? Abbas, panja nazar jab aa gaya, hans kar Sakina ne kaha. Panja nazar jab aa gaya, hans kar Sakina ne kaha. Be'aab the be'taab hum aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka, pani wo laaye hoenge khali na aaye hoenge, pani wo laaye hoenge khali na aaye hoenge, sad shukr aaya dam me dam aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka. Mashki zabin te shah ka chobe alam se hai banda, mashki zabin te shah ka chobe alam se hai banda, kis shaan se ae ahle gham aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka. Parcham lahu se laal hai mashki zabi girbal hai, parcham lahu se laal hai mashki zabi girbal hai, afzoon na ho kyun kar alam aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka. Waqif sakina hoengi kya kya tarap kar roengi, waqif sakina hoengi kya kya tarap kar roengi, ab kyun na ho ba chashme nam aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole haram aaya alam Abbas ka. Mara gaya tera chacha ja apni ki tujh par fida, mara gaya tera chacha ja apni ki tujh par fida, dene ko dard o ranj o gham aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet ke bole aaya alam Abbas ka, sar peet.
MashaAllah, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Hashr mein rang laayega khoon shaheeda dekhna Hashr mein rang laayega khoon shaheeda dekhna Hashr mein rang laayega MashaAllah Hashr mein rang laayega Aayegi jab Fatima, aayegi jab Fatima, hale pareshan dekhna.
Ashur mein rang laayega,
hone shaheeda dekhna.
Ashur mein rang laayega, hone shaheeda dekhna.
Rubaru baba ke jab خاتون جنت آئے گی خالی جولی سرور کونین کو دکھلائے گی بل یقین تھر آئے گا بل یقین تھر آئے گا محشر کا میدان دیکھنا حشر میں حشر میں رنگ لائے گا رکھ دیا برچین اکبر کا کلیجہ چیر کے رخ بدل ڈالے امت نے تیری تصویر کے مالک کوثر ذرا مالک کوثر امت کے احسان دیکھنا حشر میں رنگ لائے گا ماشاءاللہ حشر میں رنگ لائے گا روبرو بابا کے جب خاتون جنت آئے گی خالی جولی سرورے کونین کو دکھلائے گی بل یقین تھر آئے گا
بل یقین تھر آئے گا
محشر کا میدان دیکھنا حشر میں حشر میں رنگ لائے گا خون شہیدہ دیکھنا اصغر معصوم کے لب پر سوال آب ہے بوند پانی کے لیے وہ کس قدر بیتاب ہے نہر سے پانی نہیں
نہر سے پانی نہیں
دیتے مسلمان دیکھنا حشر میں
رنگ لائے گا خون شہیدہ دیکھنا
حشر میں رنگ لائے گا خون شہیدہ دیکھنا زینب و کلثوم سے کہتا تھا سمر بدگوہر شام میں جاؤ گی ننگے سر پھرو گی در بدر کربلا کے بعد اب
کربلا کے بعد اب
تاریخ زندہ دیکھنا
حشر میں رنگ لائے گا خون شہیدہ دیکھنا
حشر میں رنگ لائے گا غم بلا گلزار کا اس دل کو روز حشر کا جو ہے اولاد پیمبر کی محبت سے برا bakhshwa denge use
bakhshwa denge use
yasrab ke sultan dekhna hashr mein rang layega dekhna hashr mein rang layega aayegi jab fatima aayegi jab fatima hal pareshan dekhna hashr mein rang
laega tune shahida dekhna hashr mein rang laega tune shahida dekhna allah 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 mera bhai na raha 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 lashe abbas pakhte the shahe karbala lashe abbas pakhte the shahe karbala ya rab iska koi armaan bhi pura na hua mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha bichra gurbat mein mere arshe wafa ka khawar bichra gurbat mein mere arshe wafa ka khawar dashte zulmat mein khafa hai bani hashim ka kamar ye jahan meri nigahon mein hai andher hua ya rab iska koi armaan bhi pura na hua mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha
meri raahon mein sada isne bichhai aankhein meri raahon mein sada isne bichhai aankhein bhul kar bhi mere aage na uthai aankhein roz o shab roz e azal se meri khidmat mein raha ya rab iska koi armaan bhi pura na hua mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha mera bhai na raha
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad salawat please prepare for salah سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله
والله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن علي ولي أشهد أن عليا وأولاده المعصومين بالحق حجج الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله وسلم.
we start Salah, if people can just try and squeeze in a little bit more, there's quite a few people that's going to come in from the outside. If we can just fill the gaps and just shuffle to your left as much as you can, that'd be great. Thank you.
أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله اللهم صل على محمد أشهد أن علي ولي الله أشهد أن عليا حجة الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد
Allahu Akbar. Subhana Rabbiya al-Azimi wa bihamda subhanallahi subhanallahi subhanallah. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد عظم الذنب من عبدك فليحسن العفو من عندك يا كريم الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إني أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والنجاة من النار ومن كل بلية والفوز بالجنة والرضوان في دار السلام وجوار نبيك محمد عليه وآله السلام اللهم ما بنا من نعمة فمنك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن علي ولي الله أشهد أن عليا حجة الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأفعل بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر بحول الله وقوته أقوم وأقعد سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله الله أكبر سبحان الله أكبر سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده سبحان الله سبحان الله الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا ولي العافية نسألك العافية الله أكبر الحمد لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. It's a slightly different format today. We're going to have a speech, announcements, dua, and then ziyarat, and then tabarruk. Without further ado, can I welcome Brother Arif Ali Hirji, the Secretary of World Federation, to deliver his speech. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Tonight, I'm going to ask you, can you hear the rockets falling over Gaza? Can you hear the mother who is walking kilometers looking for food and water for her children? And can you hear where Imam al-Hussein says, خُذُوعُ وَسْعُهُ شَرْبَةً مِنَ الْمَاءِ If this child has not done anything, give him water. That was the word of Imam Ali, Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the plains of Karbala. And because you are Husseinis, because you are lovers of those who shouted Al-Atash, dear scholars, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This night I stand in front of you to speak about a project which is yours, our community project, Ali Asghar Water Appeal. Under the flagship of the World Federation, which is the charity vehicle called WF Aid, I just wanted to share with you an obligation upon us. May I ask the audio and video team to show a short video? Please bear with us, please. Bismillah.
Today, access to clean and safe water is still not available in every part of the world. 1 in 10 people don't have access to water close to home. A child dies every 2 minutes due to dirty water. Your donations have been providing life-saving access to water for millions of people around the world. Help us give vulnerable communities access to water. Donate to our Ali Asghar Water Appeal today and help provide clean and safe water to families around the world.
Thank you very much. Now, you know, I would like to have a myth-busting time. So we just look at some things. Some people think that water is something which comes on every person's table by completely. Maybe the sparrow flies in. But that's not the case. Everyone maybe thinks that Ali Asghar Water Appeal happens by itself every year. But that's not true. Because it's people like yourselves who really, really fights every day. Do you know that about 0.8 billion people, last time I checked, it's one in every 9 person around the world who don't have water. But it gets worse. There are some who have water, but 25% of them, one in every 4 around the world, has got water which is contaminated with feces. Some of them know, some of them don't know. And out of those who don't have, most of them live in the developing world. About 20% of the developing world today don't have access to clean water. Question: what does Ali Asghar Water Appeal do, and what is it all about? Through the donations and help of a few, actually, not many, we have built washrooms in Uganda. We have built wells in Pakistan, India, and in Afghanistan. And I'm going to tell you, in some areas, we usually see rockets and bombs. They get permanent water supply, and I'm talking about Yemen and Gaza. And it is you who help out. And may I just ask you, what do you think that the Madinatul Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is? You maybe have not heard about this name, where it is, but they know all about you. Because last year, Stanmore Jaffries, this community, helped thousands of people in a village called Skardu for $49,000, which was raised only for that project. Actually, thousands and thousands of mothers are able to deliver water instead of walking 2 kilometers one way and imagine with a heavy bucket walking back another 2 kilometers to provide water for their children. This year, we have a huge opportunity. If you switch on the news, you will see the rocket fire in Gaza. There, we have the opportunity of building permanent infrastructure through water supply. Even in Yemen, for 25,000 people per annum. So if you got it permanent, think about the Thawab Ijariya, which is continuous for 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years from now. I would like to speak about Kenya specifically, because Stanmore Jaffries, who you will hear later on, they have committed this year for both their cycling, their runners, the walkers, half marathons, I hear, and they will be knocking at each one of you, holding your shoulders, asking, sponsor me. And I would say that these heroes, who don't only reside in London, in Hujjat, but also in Birmingham, Peterborough, every Jamaat in the UK, they actually will ask for your support. I just wanted to say on this very, very blessed night that there is a sound of someone narrated in the Arbab al-Maqatil, and he heard a person says, وَكَفَى عَبَّاسٌ مُطَحِّيرًا. And he heard that Abbas alayhi salam stood there confused. Ya Allah, Hazrat Abbas confused? Yes, because here he hears the sound of Al-Atash. He hears the Ali Asghar crying and he wonders, how can I help? Today, the babies and children, they need the help. They also cry Al-Atash. And therefore, I urge each one of you, go to the Jamaat desk in the main hall. Go to the desks outside, which has some merchandise. We take money, we take cards, and we take pledges, we take your duas, and you may go to the website donate.wf, donate.wf, and please donate generously. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. There's just a few announcements. The Daily Ladies Morning Majlis is, as usual, at 10 a.m. It starts with Quran. And there's also a parallel children's program at 10 a.m. The main program tomorrow will start at 7:15 p.m. Tomorrow as well, 7th of August, there's a majlis been arranged at Northwood Cobrestan for 11 a.m. Majlis has been arranged for both ladies and gents at the Imam Hussein Foundation in Watford next to the Kingsway School. The program starts at 11 p.m. every night. It's Quran, Hadith, Iqsa, Majlis by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi, Saf Matam, followed by Niyaz. The programs will continue until Shame Ghariba. Please try to car share where possible. The annual Majlis at Woodcock Hill Cemetery on Ashura Day, Tuesday the 9th of August, will begin at 5 p.m. A humble request for Mu'mineen to please share cars as much as possible and follow the marshals, the car marshals that will be there. The Muharram Majalis sponsorship scheme is £810 per night. To sponsor, either in part or full, please contact Brother Mushtaq Qasim or Brother Sajjad Tejani in the gents, or the chair lady, Nasima by Kareem, in the ladies. The Muharram Niyaz Fund is also open, so please donate generously at the treasurer's desk. And the membership subscriptions can also be paid at the desk or online. As you know, we are working towards our future at Hujjat Harefield. Please donate at the treasurer's desk in the gents and the ladies, or via the Harefield ambassadors' tables. Any recitation requests can be emailed to recite@hujjat.org. And please respect our neighbors by not blocking their driveways when you park outside. And in terms of a car parking announcements, once Rugby and the center car parks are full, overflow is in the Mandir rear grass area. Please follow the instructions by the car park volunteers and cooperate them with them fully. If you have parked in Mandir, please ensure you vacate by 10:30 p.m. and please refrain from smoking or littering in the grounds. And the final announcement is Al Hadi Youth have arranged a Baraza Corner for gents and ladies. It's a question and answer session with Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali. It's in the main hall after this program in the gents. It's going to be discussing the topic, which is Karbala, an enlightened journey. Thank you. Dua.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إنه ليس لي علم بموضع رزقي وإنما أطلبه بخطرات تخطر على قلبي فأجول في طلبه البلدان فأنا فيما أنا طالب كالحيران لا أدري أفي سهل هو أم في جبل أم في أرض أم في سماء أم في بر أم في بحر وعلى يدي من ومن قبل من وقد علمت عنا علمه عندك وأسبابه بيدك وأنت الذي تقسمه بلطفك وتسببه برحمتك اللهم فصل على محمد وآله واجعل يا ربي رزقك لي واسعا ومطلبه سهلا وما أخذه قريبا ولا تعنني بطلبي ما لم تقدر لي فيه رزقا فإنك غني عن عذابي وأنا فقير إلى رحمتك فصل على محمد وآله وجد على عبدك بفضلك إنك ذو فضل عظيم.
السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا حسن المجتبى السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين وعلى تسعة المعصومين من ذريتك علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي السلام السلام عليك يا صاحب العصر والزمان السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.